If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn to the book of St. John, chapter 8. Last Wednesday night, I was at Brother Donnie Vaughn's, sitting there before service and was reading through my Bible and these scriptures coming. I felt like the Lord would have me preach it here at this camp meeting before I ever left. I wish I had something to go right along behind Brother Doble. Seemed to me that was the way it was moving. But this is what the Lord gave me, so I'm going to give it to you. Chapter 8 and verse number 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. If you would lift your hands and ask God to help us tonight, today.
Dear Heavenly Father, God, I need you, Lord. God, have your way, Lord. Let your will be done, God. Lord, touch souls this morning, God. Touch hearts, Lord. We'll give you the praise.
God, and the glory for it.
Felt like preaching to you this morning on being a servant of sin. Jesus was talking to these, preaching to them. Now certain ones that believed on him, he told them that if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they told him, we are Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou that ye shall be made free? And they were saying there was never anyone strong enough to put us in bondage. There was never anything strong enough to bind us. We was never in bondage. Then Jesus comes back and he answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. Do you know there are those that believe sin is their servant? They can command sin to come and command sin to go, and they are able in themselves to control sin. But Jesus didn't say that. He said that whosoever committeth sin is a servant to sin. Do you know that there are two masters? There is the Master Jesus Christ. He said, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. He is the Master. He is the Master of righteousness, the Master of sinlessness, the Master of purity. Not only is he a Master, but the devil also is a Master. He is the Master of unrighteousness, the Master of uncleanliness, the Master of sin. And in this world, we will serve one Master. And we will serve either the Lord Jesus Christ, or we will serve sin. There are those that say, I'm going to get out, I'm going to do my own thing. And they believe that they are doing their own thing, living the way that they want to live. But my friend, you are not living your way. You have a master to serve, whether it be the Lord or whether it be sin. You are serving one master. Amen. You know, there are those that believe they can go out through the week and live for the devil. Come Wednesday night or Sunday morning, they can serve the Master Jesus Christ. But in Matthew 6:24, the Bible said, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You can only serve one God. You can either serve the God of this world, or you can serve
serve the Lord Jesus Christ and if you serve the God of this world, you are the servant of sin.
I heard talking to a man back home, Brother Corey Martin, some of you may know him. He said he was at work one day, talking to a man at work, and it was Friday evening. They fixing me off for the weekend. And that man come up to him and kind of looked down, and he said, "What's the matter?" And he said, "Well, I'm just dreading the weekend. Looking out the weekend coming on, I'm dreading it." He said, "Well, why are you dreading it? Everybody else is looking forward to it. Going to be off work and get a few days rest before we have to come back. And why are you dreading it?" And that man, he said, looked at him serious as he could be. He said, "Well, I'll go out this weekend and I'll blow my money on alcohol and I'll get drunk. And more than likely, I'll get in the fight. And every now and then, I'll wake up in jail. And no telling what will happen this weekend, over the weekend. No telling what will happen to me." And that young man was not wanting to be like that. He didn't desire to blow his money. He didn't desire to fight with his friends. He didn't desire to go to jail. But no, he was a servant to sin. You see, a servant does not do his own will. A servant does what his master says. A servant goes where the master says go. And when the master says do something, the servant has to do it. And my friend, if you're in sin, you are a servant of sin. He didn't want to do it, but he had to. I heard the story of a man who was an alcoholic. That man beat his wife, abused her, terrible to her. And one night he had beaten her. And they went to bed that night. He's afraid she was going to leave him. He slept with a pistol in his hand. He said, "If you try to leave during the night and I wake up, I'm going to kill you." And she got up and was going to go check on the children or something in the house. He thought she was trying to leave. He didn't take the gun and kill her like he said he would. But he got up and began to beat that lady. Beat his precious wife. And just about killed her. The ambulance come, picked her up. And they asked her if her husband was beating her. But she loved him, didn't want to turn him in. She wouldn't own up to it, wouldn't say nothing. But she just cried when they asked her. And they said, "We can't do nothing unless you tell us." But she loved him and she wouldn't do it. That man come to the hospital. He filled her room full of flowers. He talked with her and said, "Baby, I love you and I'll never do that to you again. I'm so sorry for the way I treated you. I'm sorry for the way and the things that I've done to you. I'll never do it again." Well, it wasn't long she got out of the hospital. Things went fine for a while. But before long he come home again, drunk and in that shape. And he began to beat his wife again. That man and himself didn't want to do that. He loved her. He didn't want to treat her like that. You say, "Well, why did he do it?" It was because he was a servant of sin. He did not have control over himself. And you won't either. The devil will try to make it look so glamorous and say that it's all fun, all pleasure. And there's no heartache and no trouble in sin. You can be your own man. I've had them tell me that so many times. Young men that I've known that get married, after they get married, they say, "I want to be my own man. I want to run my own home. I'll go out now and do what I want to." But they are not doing that. They are doing what their master says to do. They are obeying the lust of their master, fulfilling his every will and every wish. Friend, when you get in sin, you won't be on your own. You won't be able to play with a little while and then leave, because you'll be a servant. A servant of sin. You know, the Bible has several examples of those that were servants to sin. David was a good example. A man of such a great man. Read so much about David. Hear so much preaching on his younger life and on everything that he had done as earlier years. But David later on, you know how he fell. And you know David didn't intend to go as far as David went. David did not intend to do the things that he done. David figured, I'll go out for a little while. I'll have my pleasure. I'll come right back. I won't ever have to pay. I won't ever have to give anything for what I'm doing. I'll be all right. But friend, it didn't work that way. And you see, there are those that believe they can go out just a little while. And young people go out on the weekend and do their thing. And then they come back. Mom and dad don't know nothing about it. And they want to act like they're still a Christian. And sometimes we say they're just not where they need to be with the Lord. But that's not what Jesus said. He that committed sin is a servant of sin. He didn't say he that committed 10 sins or 20 sins. He said he that committed the sin is a servant of sin. And my friend, you let go of that. You give in to sin and you will be a servant of sin. Servant. David gave in to sin. It wasn't long. David started out just missing off the battlefield, standing home. And that sin led to walking on top of the king's palace and seeing Bathsheba. One sin led to another. Everyone getting a little worse and a little worse. After that, we find that he committed that horrible sin of adultery with Bathsheba. Hey, David, you look at his life and say, no, that really can't be the same man. Later on, he went and killed Uriah, had him slain. He in battle committed murder. That can't be the same man. That the Bible said he was after God's own heart. That can't be the same one. That wrote down, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It can't be the same man. What happened, Brother Holden? You want me to tell you what it is? David committed sin, and David became a servant to sin. It don't matter what you've done in your past life. It don't matter how you live. One moment in sin wipes away everything that you've ever done, and you will become a servant. A servant of sin. I was talking to a young man. He told me about gave me his testimony. Told me to preach it if I wanted to. This young man was raised in a good holiness church. Known him all my life. That young man was in and out of church. And that's dangerous ground, getting in and out. You get worse every time. In and out of church, in and out, in and out. And he kept getting worse. He said, I was 10 years old when I seen the first demon in my house. He said he was a little bitty demon, real short. He said his arms was about 1 inch around. He said, I was laying on my bed. He said, and that demon come in the room. It couldn't fly or anything. Crawl up on the bed with me. He said, I wrestled with that demon. He said, he threw me around like a rag doll. And he was just a small demon. He said, I wrestled with him for a while. Finally, he left. Left my room, went in my sister's room. She was a good Christian, filled with the Holy Ghost. And she started screaming in her room, praying, and that demon left. He said, but I seen that demon several times after that. He said, every time I seen him, he was getting a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger. And he said, I just played around with sin at first. I didn't really want to be in church. I was a young person. The devil had me thinking there was more fun out in the world. I didn't want to go to God's house. I didn't want to be associated with God's people. And I kept fooling around. Out and see him. And he said that demon kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And he said, I had encounters with the devil himself a few years later down the road. He said, I could lay in the bed at night and I could feel the darkness creep in the house. He said, I could hear footsteps walking down the hall. And he said, the door wouldn't open, but a devil would appear about 8 foot tall, stand at the end of my bed with eyes going red. He'd look at me. He said, I never opened my mouth. And that demon never opened his mouth. He said, but that demon would think a thought. And in my mind, I knew what he was thinking. I would answer him back. I would say something to him in my mind. And he would talk back to me. You think sin's a toy? Don't mess with it. He said, I began to talk back and forth with the demon. He said, and I thought I hadn't gone too far. He said, there was even times that
I'd ask that demon when I was playing football with other friends to help me to be better at football. I'm not talking about someone that didn't know nothing about God's house. I'm not talking about someone that didn't know anything about God's Word. I'm talking about someone that was raised in a holiness church that was taught God's Word. He was taught the truth. And here he was messing around in sin. And oh, how deep he went. He said one night, he said, that demon, I could feel him coming down the hall. I could hear his footsteps. Nobody else could see him, but I could see him. And he'd appear into the room. He said, every time I'd have an encounter with the devil, the next morning my mom would say, man, your bed's soaking wet. You sweat a lot when you sleep. He said, I'd push it off. I didn't want to tell mom what was going on in my room at night. He said, man, I'd sweat and I'd tremble. He said, I was paralyzed when the demon would come in. I couldn't move, but I could know. I knew what he was thinking, and he knew what I was thinking. He said, and that demon that night come in, and I felt such a heaviness on my soul, such a heaviness in the room. He said, that demon come up, and he looked at me, and he said in his mind, I'm going to kill you tonight. And that young man said, I said, no. In my mind, I thought that, no, please, don't kill me. And he said, that demon moved closer and said, yes, tonight is your night. God has released you into my hands. I'm going to kill you tonight. I'm going to destroy you. And he said, the devil got closer and closer. And just before it killed him, he said, I said, wait a minute, devil. I'll make a deal with you. There are probably some here, you might not believe in spirits, but it's real. That young man said, wait a minute, devil. I'll make a deal with you. He said, if you don't kill me, I promise you I'll hate holiness. I promise you I'll hate my parents. I'll get so rebellious. I won't do anything they tell me to. I'll hate the church. He said, I'll even go down there and try to drag out every young person that I can. I'll try to get them to hate holiness too. If you please won't kill me. And he said, when he said that, that demon stepped back. And he said, never opened his mouth, but a smirky grin crossed his face. And he said, all right. And he stared into my eyes, and his eyes glowed. And at that time, that young man was filled with several different spirits. You see, what started out at first as just a little dabble in sin at an early age, just messing around just a little bit with sin, what started out seemingly as fun, he ended up being a servant to that thing. He ended up serving that. He couldn't do what he wanted to. He'd go to his friends that were at the church. He'd try to drag them out of church. It wasn't like that young man. No, he didn't do that in himself. But he was a servant of sin. And my friend, when you commit sin, sooner or later you will wind up a servant. Servant of sin. You won't be able to control yourself. You won't be able to stop yourself. Sin will take full control of you. That young man went deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. And all the stories that he told me, sat in my trailer and talked to me about it. While we were sitting there, chill bumps would come on him every time he mentioned one of them encounters with a demonic spirit. He'd say, I get chill bumps just thinking about it. What it was like to be paralyzed and know that my life and soul was in their hands when they were there. You see, the devil makes it look so pretty. The devil makes it look so good. Makes it look like everyone needs to go out in it for a little while. He don't show you when you're bound. He don't show you the end result. When you're just a servant of sin, he don't show you where you don't have any control of yourself. He don't show you where he controls every step and every move that you make. And sooner or later, you will be a servant of sin. I'm talking to someone here this morning. I know I am. You've had it in your mind. I may go out and try a little bit. You've contemplated leaving God's house. The devil's jumped on your shoulder, and you in your mind have thought and wondered, what is the use? I don't know who you are. It may even be a preacher here this morning, but I know that I felt like the Holy Ghost dealt with me. There's going to be someone there. There's going to be someone. And they're thinking about sin. They're pondering it in their mind. They're wondering about sin. And they just want to go out into it. And they're thinking, if I don't get exactly what I need at this camp meeting, I'll go back out into sin. And my friend, I want you to know, you will be a servant of sin. It's not all a bed of roses. It's not as pretty as the devil makes it look. You become a servant. Servant. You've got to serve sin. I've told this illustration before. We had a horse when I was younger. Her name was Angel. She's a gentle horse. And we could grab that horse's tail and climb up on her backside, slide on her. She'd lower her head, eat, and we could climb on her head and crawl up her neck. We put 5 of us grandkids on that horse at one time. Rode around. She was just as gentle as you please. She'd lower her head and let you slide off her neck. Us kids had so much fun on Angel. And it seemed so gentle. But you see, Angel had one problem. Whenever you let Angel have her head and you let her run just a little while, my dad's here, he can tell you, and you just about couldn't get that horse stopped. He'd just keep running. You couldn't stop it. We'd saddle Angel up, and he'd let Christy ride first, my sister, because he knew the first thing I'd do is take off running across the field. And she'd ride for a while. And all right, Tracy, it's your turn. And I'd get on Angel, and there I'd go across the field. I'd give her reins. I'd kick her. I'd just hold on. And we'd run like the wind across the fields. Man, I loved it. But when we got to the other end, I'd stand up in the stirrups, and I'd say, "Whoa, girl!" But Angel wouldn't stop. I'd say, "Whoa, girl!" Angel wouldn't slow down. I'd try to pull her to stop. She might turn from side to side, but Angel would not stop. I've had her run off through the woods with me before. I just had to duck down to miss the limbs, and through the woods she'd run. I'd stand up in the stirrups, but I wasn't strong enough to stop that horse that seemingly was so gentle. And friend, can I tell you, sin is the same way. It'll look so gentle. It'll look like it cannot hurt anybody. But you give sin rain. You let sin have rain for a little while. Sooner or later, you'll stand up. You'll say, "Whoa, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go that way." But sin will say, "Oh, yes, you will. You'll go where I want you to. You'll do what I want you to. Because you are a servant of sin." A servant of sin. Have no control. You can't stop yourself. Oh, what makes a man abuse his family after working hard all week? Come home and abuse his family. Waste his living. Is it in a human himself to do something like that? No. It's the devil, the spirit of the world that gets in their soul. They don't want to do that. But they are serving a sin. They went a lot further than they ever dreamed they'd go. No doubt they tried stopping, but they couldn't stop sin. I wanted to tell you this morning, if you're thinking about it, you got your mind on it, it ain't worth it. Don't do it. Don't do it. You can't play with it and get out all right. You can't dabble in sin, because Jesus said, "He that committeth sin is a servant of sin." You'll be bound up by it. You can't shake it loose. You can't get free from it. He'll get a hold on you. And no matter what you try, you're bound. You'll be a servant of sin. Oh, I could tell you different ones. In the short time I've lived, short time I've preached, I've seen that was in good holiness churches, deacons of good holiness churches, that backslid, sin got in their life, and they become a servant of sin, and their life is wrecked right now. And I want to tell you this morning, if you're thinking about it, the devil will show you the good side. He'll show you the pretty billboards, but he won't show you the end result. He won't show you where to lead. He won't show you that lonely path he'll be on in the end. Or you'll end up a servant of